Hey everybody, my name is Gary and you're listening to the Piano Podcast, or hopefully watching my YouTube channel. It's called Garrett K. If you don't mind, I would like if you guys can subscribe, like, and especially comment, because I'm thinking about hopefully if enough of you guys ask questions or just comment random things or whatever, whatever you guys want. I would maybe like to read in your comments video, maybe there'll be a separate video on my channel, or maybe it'll be a podcast as well. This is gonna be a different episode than usual because for a couple reasons. One, I fixed the audio, so it sounds way better. There's way less background noise, as you can hear. Yeah, practically nothing, which I'm very proud of. And then there's a I'm gonna be telling gig stories, because I have a good, like, I'm gonna tell you guys about all the gigs I kind of had and ones I actually just experienced, which in fact I experienced yesterday. So all right, let's get started about that. So I'm going to go to the first thing I can remember, which was, hold up. I swear, like, I should have probably, wrote some down so I'll remember. Okay, so this is one of my recitals. My teacher, my piano teacher, I won't name her, but basically she host a recital, and basically every May, it's not only posted on YouTube, which I'll try to find. I actually know the video of last year, but I don't feel like people searching for it and finding it. But like, during that recital, there's also awards for the program. She does two of them. I didn't do it for some reason. I didn't do it because I was really busy. I was doing marching band, and I really did not have that time. Oh, no, wait, no, actually, no, I wasn't doing marching band. I was in ninth grade. No, I didn't do marching band. I really just didn't feel like it, to be honest, and I was like, I don't feel like it. Like, it just didn't speak to me. Like, I didn't know that she had two programs. She only told me about the second one. She was way more specific about the second one than the first one. And the second one, I was upset because they only allowed you to play American music, and so in that association, Rachmaninoff is considered American. There's Gershwin, and I don't mind playing those, but the problem is I'm not good enough. I'm still not good enough to play those pieces. But like the pieces I could play were by, you know, modern contemporary composers, and it's not like the interesting and wonky composers that I like who can I name as a modern American composer that's pretty weird and wonky? There's Andrew Norman, like people like that, or George Crumb. It's not like that, but it's really contemporary melodic music, or it was neo-romantic music, and it's I just hate that. I mean, to be fair, I shouldn't be talking because I write that type of music right now, and I know that is very hypocritical of me to say, but the options that I was given of my skill level, because there's grades and I was at a certain grade and they give you certain pieces, they only give you three to do. And so, and all the pieces were complete trash. They were all terrible. Nothing I was into. So I was like, you know what? I'm not going to do it. But she should have told me about the second program, which you did music theory. And But then she said, but she never told me that I can play any type of piece that I want. And if she told me that, I would have done it. But also, the problem was that my parents couldn't really, you know, take me up to Jacksonville, you know, all the time, because that's where it was. And so, it would be unfair to them, and it would be kind of, and because they couldn't do that, it would be kind of unfair to me, too. So, that's why we never really, did it. And, I think maybe this year I'm gonna try to do one of them. The one where I get to play what I want, because I'm not doing that American one. Although, as soon as I get good enough to play some Rachmaninoff, then I'll do it. But you also have to play a duo piece, and you pretty much have no freedom to play other things other than what you have to do for that those programs. And the kids that what I see is that they play literally the same piece for an entire year. And I'm like, I'm not going to do that. Like, that's just not how you learn. You can't learn by doing something for an entire year. Unless it's something like a concerto or something very big. But these aren't big pieces. They're like 5 minutes, 3 minutes. It's just not worth the proposition. It's just not worth it. And so that's why I didn't do it. So here we are at this recital. Sorry for that little rant. We were at this recital. And so, I was like, darn, I wish I could win something. And then she announced the Perfect Attendance Award, and I got it. I mean, I think almost everyone got it. It's really the Participation Award. Let's be honest with ourselves. And even this year, when I got the same award again, I was like, oh, I can't wait for the Participation Award. And I was like, yeah, when I got it. But I think I was a bit too long. People heard me. So I was like really embarrassed because I was like, oh, I feel like such a little kid and like a brat and like way too immature. And so I'm really sorry for these plosives or like these wind like that. I apologize for that. But hopefully that'll be fixed. I mean, to be fair, I do have a pop filter. But does this make a difference? Alright, it actually does make a fair difference, but I'll use it next time, the pop filter. But I was really embarrassed, and I was like, ugh. But, you know, people forgot about it. I mean, I was only 15, even still that's kind of sad for a 15-year-old. Let's see, another story. Okay, so this is, chronological order. So, after that, summer starts. Barely finding anything to do. Like, this summer, right now, I'm struggling to find anything. So, if you guys can help me out, maybe in the comments saying, if there's any service hour jobs available, or maybe, like, jobs available that I can do, that'll be really helpful. That's nearby, That's like in Fort Lauderdale. Let's see. Okay. So later towards the summer, like for a month, I worked at this temple, this Jewish temple, and that's where I'm actually working at now, or at least like for once a week on Friday. Hopefully it didn't glitch out just now, the audio for the podcast version. And it was very, very interesting. It was really cool. I actually have some video footage of me playing in front of the... this year it wasn't that much because the older kids weren't there. There was some... I think around like... what was it? Like last year there was around like 500 kids. That's like the biggest audience I've ever seen. Like from preschoolers to high schoolers. Like some people older than me. Some campers older than me. And so... sorry about that. And it was really incredible to... it was really incredible to see that. as I guess I'm from a back pocket. Really incredible to see that many people. And well, I'll tell you what I was doing. So basically, they have this in a temple. They have. I'm not really a religious person. I'm not a. I don't really practice like religion. Although I do have faith, but I go for both. I'm mixed blooded, I guess, or half blooded, whatever. So my mother is a Christian, at least I think, and my dad is Jewish. So I'm kind of both and half and half. I have to look up each religion, then maybe I'll make up my mind. But the rule is, I think I'm a Christian because, according to the rules, it's like, oh, the mom, if you're whatever religion your mom is, then you have to follow that. So, I guess I'm Christian. I don't know. I really don't know. But anyways, so the temple does this thing called a Shabbat. Like Friday Shabbat Shaloms. I don't know what that means. I remember it's like peace or happiness or something like that. And basically, I would, along with the music teacher and this other woman who would both play guitar and sing, I would accompany on the piano, and I bring my electric keyboard with me, which is why I was about to say in the introduction, I don't have my keyboard with me, and I would play you guys stuff, but I was kind of packed up, and I don't really feel like setting it up at, 11:26 at night. And yes, my wallpaper is a photo of my flip-flop, because I can. It's kind of cool how there's like a little dot with the iPhone 10 and above. Really, pretty neat. As I was saying, I need to enunciate my words. Darn, I keep going off track. It's so weird. I really apologize to everyone who's listening or viewing this. I'm really, really sorry. Kind of had a boring day. Anyways, so I was playing, and so what they do is, yeah, there's people singing, and then there's also people, people singing, people playing guitars, and so I played on the piano, and so basically. It was really extravagant. It was really interesting to play, and just see all these kids, and really cool to. It was a really neat experience as a musician. So it was really interesting. It taught me a lesson, which was try to bring a less heavier instrument load, because my instrument load is heavy, dude, and it's crazy how heavy it is. It's just very, very aggravating. I'm like, oh my god, this is so heavy. Like, literally, I would like as soon like the more tired I got, the more stops I had to take. So it's like. It comes down to the point where it's like every 10 seconds I would walk and then I'll stop for like 5 minutes and then, no, 5 seconds, sorry. And then, and then another 5 minutes. And it was just, it's really heavy. I wish I had like a roller or something with my speaker or my stand or my keyboard. But I don't. I'm not going to be bringing a freaking wheelbarrow to a temple. I'll look suspicious, let's see, but it was a really interesting experience, and I think it'll be kind of cool to share. So more gig stories. Okay, so this one's in, this one was, this year, I think this year, or like the, yeah, it was during spring break, I believe. I Oh yeah, I was about to say I was gonna tell the story of how I got my grand piano, but I'll do that some other episode, not the next one, because I want to get back to my usual talks and stuff. But basically, I went to this thing, this fair, this little fair. It's a fair in Miami-Dade or something like that. And it's a huge fair, and so they have a recital. I was invited to play, or at least like I, one of my mom's friends, who's like one of my mom's very close friends, is a piano teacher. So she has a lot of, you know, recitals that she does, and so she decided to invite me. So I was like, oh cool, I guess I'll play. I played the Clementi Sonata Opus 36 Number 4, Movement 2. In F major, and so I mean it's really B flat. The second movement is in B flat, but the entire sonatina is in F major. So I played the second movement, or the hall sounded fantastic. Oh my god, it was like recording heaven. It was just so incredible to see. And just to see and take in the environment, it was really interesting. And it was just fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. I don't regret deciding to go. I don't regret, I almost was just saying, nah, I don't feel like it, but I'm glad I went, because the hall was fantastic, and the sound, it was like a studio recording, and there was a good reverb and echo, and I wish I can just rent the place for like a buck, and then I would record as much as possible. I'll bring my own equipment and stuff like that, but anyways, and so, actually, I have to check, because it was a competition, so I won second place, and they give you $10, and so, I spent that $10 on a flute, like an African flute. But I would show you guys on camera, but I don't feel like taking it down. So, but it's very, very cool. And yeah, so like another lesson that I learned was enter a lot of competitions, because it can maybe pay off. But also because you get viable lessons, and you learn about how to perform in front of people, and so perform as much as possible. At least that's my advice for a beginner, or like a beginner's as less as me. Because let's be honest, I'm not a good pianist at all. I'm okay. I'm not a beginner, but I'm not like qualified to. I'm not qualified enough to do it for a living. Although I wish. I'm going to try to do that with the 2 years. Oh my god. It's crazy. Basically two, or depending on how you think about it, 6 years left of my time as a adolescent child. I'm going to try to use the best of my time to really focus and work hard to achieve my dreams. And so that's another lesson, I guess, to people, just anyone in general who's thinking of gonna do a risky job choice, and tell them, listen, do what makes you happy, because it'll and work hard at what makes you happy, because in the end, if it makes you happy, and you're after you work extremely hard and you're still happy with it, then it's gonna help pay off. And that's another reason why I'm doing YouTube, because I want to get my feelings and my passion for music out into the world, and for people to hear. And another reason is because, well, if enough people like what I do, I can start gaining money for it. And so, like, I guess my biggest dream is to be a concert pianist, or a commissioning composer. But my second biggest dream is to be a full-time YouTuber. That would be fantastic, because although you won't get paid by the government in the end, but if you get successful, you'll be able to make a living doing it. And you get, and not only that, but you get, you know, well, not famous, but you get recognized. And so that'll be cool one day. Like, as soon as someone, like, if I get popular enough where it's like someone recognizes me on the street, that would be like, I made it, or at least somewhat. I'll be very happy with it. Okay, so another, now this is, let's see, another gig story. Let's see. Okay, so this is, fairly recently. This is actually a couple weeks ago, actually. Oh, sorry about that. I signed up to work, or at least my mom signed me up, like, literally the day before I went. She was like, oh, Gary, you're gonna be working at church from, 8 to 12:30, or, like, 7 to 12:30. I was like, what? Excuse me? Is this a joke? But obviously it wasn't, and I went, and I had a great time. It was for a camp, but I mean, it's not really a gig story. It's not really a gig story, but basically, I came to the church. For the first week, I helped out prepping everything and setting everything up for the camp that happened the next week. And so the camp, basically, I thought there was a music program which I would play and stuff like that, but no, it was just the crappy church songs that they would play. It sounded like the, you know, like church hymns, but it was like, it was kind of like pop songs, but like it was like gospel music, but kind of like pop, like yeah, and like the kids were dancing, and it was a music video, and it was funny how corny it was, but if the kids were happy with it, then the kids were happy with it. So I ended up working the story time room. And so when you had a story time room, and so they would have this thing that would get their attention. At first it worked fine, but later it didn't work. So I decided, there's a couple of African instruments there. There's a kalimba, which very kind of different from the one I have. It's a lot higher quality. A steel drum that didn't work. A bongo, a thick hand drum, and a thinner hand drum. I decided, you know what, I'm going to make use of this to get their attention. So I grabbed the thinner hand drum, and it went like, and so, I basically, and it worked. It actually worked. It got their attention. And so I decided to be fun. And when the little, second, first graders were, like, leaving, and I did this beat, it was, like, and I played it over and over again, the hand drum, while they were leaving and coming in, and please excuse my terrible beatboxing, but basically, I thought it was fun, so I decided when the third graders came in, I decided to do the same. And so, and when the third graders came in, and you have name tags. In fact, I can show you my name tag. I accidentally kept. Let me get it. All right, so I hope to God you're watching the YouTube version, because if you're watching, listening, because if you're listening, if you're on the audio version, I feel super bad for you at the moment. Yeah, that's my name tag. Yeah, it says Garrett on it, and it's like a zebra with like orange lines on top of it. And if you really want to see it, then that's why you should check out my YouTube channel at Garrett K. Another plugin, I apologize. Hopefully there won't be another one. But yeah, I and when they had the name tag, and sorry for the chair. My chair was really old and bad, and I wish I got a way more quieter chair. But when I kept doing that, and like right towards the end, there was a third grader who turned their head, and said, "Garrett, just stop." And so I was like, okay. And I stopped. And I didn't do it the rest of the camp week. It just basically destroyed any musical spirits and dreams I had of working at the church. Until yesterday. And I actually have a way older story, but, or like way older experience I want to tell you guys about. But yesterday, I did world premiere of one of my etudes, which is very, very exciting. And so it was very, it was really kind of nerve-wracking. Or just angry and nerve-wracking for one reason. And that's because my parents, or at least my mom specifically, she was like, "You know what, I don't know if this is a great fit for the it's a patriotic festival." So I wrote it, it's one of my etudes, the first one actually. I called it Fireworks, and so I actually explained this during the little intro, which was not filmed, sadly. But basically I had a pattern, and so in music, there's a lot of patterns. There's, there's Fibonacci sequences that composers used, or pi, or a whole bunch of mathematical things that use patterns, and so, music is very pattern-like. So, I got the inspiration when I was at a Marlins game, and so I saw how fireworks go, like up, and then and have a sparkly like, and so I kind of want to recreate that. I want to recreate that pattern and get the image of fireworks in your head. Maybe I should call my set Images, but like Debussy did. But basically, I did. It's like boom, vlom, vlom, boom, boom. And so you can kind of tell it's like a firework. And so my mom kept arguing, "Listen, Gary, just play a Chopin," and said, "Oh, I made a mistake." And I'm like, "I'm not going to play a Chopin because," and she was referring to his fourth prelude, which I learned, and I'm forgetting more and more of it each day. But I was like, "No, because I want to show my work to the world, and I wanted people to hear me, and I think it's great for the ceremony because it's kind of loud and bombastic and it's fast and it's exciting, and so, and it's a show off piece." And my mom didn't really realize this until after I played it, which I got the video actually, so I'll try to add it to the end of the video podcast. Sorry for the third plug, but if you want to hear my performance, then go watch at Garrett K, please. I apologize. I cannot figure out a way to port the file Although I'll try to do it the podcast version at the end of the podcast. If you do hear it, then I'll figure it out. And so hope the audio listeners will be able to listen to it. But something's going wrong. Oh, never mind. We're good. All right. So, the end of the podcast, you'll hear the song. You'll see my performance, and the crowd really liked it. It was a whole bunch of old people, all old people, and like there's barely any young people. There's some of the camp counselors I was working at for some reason, and I was like, wait, why are they there? They shouldn't be here. No, it's not like any of them were performing. One was actually, but a lot of them weren't. They were just serving and just helping out, and I wasn't told. And I'm kind of glad that I wasn't told about it, because it would be kind of inconvenient while I'm serving someone to go and perform. Well, I just have to drop all what I'm doing and go and perform. But actually, I was offered. I was like, "Oh, we have an event on Sunday. Do you want to help out?" And I didn't know what they're talking about at the time. I thought they were talking about something else. And so I said, no, thank you. I'm good. And so little did I know that they meant about that event. So I performed, and it was really, and I pretty much played perfectly, near to it. I have to watch it again and see what mistake I made, because I know I made one, but it's so small and minimal, you'll barely notice it, and hopefully I won't notice it either. But it was really cool to see people like my work, and to see how people just a smile. And while I was performing, I swear, I think I heard someone said, "Wow." And according to my mom, someone right behind, as soon as I started to play, there was a woman behind my mom, and she said, "Oh, this boy is gonna be entertaining," or something like that, or like this show hasn't even begun yet, or something like that. I forgot what it was. But it was just really, that made me smile and made my day. Yeah. And so, I think the last story I want to talk to you guys about before I head out of this podcast, I want to tell you guys one more story before we head out, is the first time I ever made a public performance. And I played this song called Charlie the Chimp, a very easy song, I mean now, but back then it was like ridiculously hard, like, how do you move both of your hands? It was pretty crazy. And back then I was like moving way faster than the other kids. I was like, she was like, "Whoa, that's pretty cool, like pretty crazy." And I was like, "Whoa, how am I moving so fast?" Like, but it was really easy. It was pretty easy, except for the song. It was kind of difficult to learn. And what made it difficult was probably because I had to perform. And this was, this month is going to be my 3 years of piano playing. Like, this month, it will be the 3-year anniversary of when I re-picked up the piano. I'll tell you that, the story of when I quit afterwards, after the story. But I was so nervous. I was literally shaking. And what's interesting is that in those performances at my old music school, which is like a little public music school, it wasn't like academic where it's like you don't go to regular school, but it was like something after regular school. You go and you have a lesson with your teacher. It's like a place with a whole bunch of teachers everywhere, and it also taught guitar and drums, and there was like a band. It was really cool. I was so nervous, and it was the first time I ever felt before, like, butterflies in my stomach, or, like, the very first time it felt, like, really hard. And what's interesting was that there was, like, a back room where I waited, and so, well, or it was literally the front of the place, but, you waited there until, came on stage. And so there's like a giant pedestal where the keyboard was. It was a literally a teacher's keyboard. And so I, or like the keyboard that you play on with the teacher. And so you went up and then you performed. And I performed, mediocre. I messed up a couple times, but otherwise, you know, it was okay performance. I wasn't happy with it, of course, as all musicians are. We are not allowed to be happy when you're making a performance. I'm just kidding, but it was really interesting. I learned that you need to be calm in order to perform well. Like yesterday, I performed excellently because I was calm. And when I performed that Clementi Sonatina Movement 2, I was really calm that day and performed almost flawlessly. And so make sure you calm. Just think about peaceful things. Meditate before you head out to your performance. Just think of stuff that relaxes you. And don't think about, oh, what will they think of me? What will they, no, don't think of any of that stuff. You'll do fine. Just breathe and relax. And it's just a performance at the end of the day. It means absolutely nothing. I mean, like, it doesn't matter in the end. Like, we're all gonna die. We're all gonna die. Like, who cares? It's just a performance that lasts 3 minutes and then you're done. Okay, so I want to give the story. There was another story. Darn, I forgot which one it was. It was the story about, about why I quit piano. Okay, so, around 2013 to 2014, I went to this acting school, and so there they had piano lessons. Like, they had piano, but they had like a 3-thing program where it was piano, music, acting, and dance. I didn't do dance part, but part of the camp, they made a dance section. They made us do dance, even the boys. And so and I actually continued to do acting. I pursued acting for a bit. I'm not gonna tell you that story because it's the piano podcast. It's not the acting podcast. I'll look that up if there actually is such a thing, but I don't think so. But anyways, I was basically there's a performance. My teacher, I was actually doing pretty well. I wasn't doing as good as I did at ASM, and that was probably the reason why I was doing really well, because I kind of knew a lot, some about music already. And so, basically, I think the last thing I did was, like, Jingle Bells something, but then the teacher told me, I got some bad news. I can't teach you anymore. I gotta move to California. And, yep, she moved. I pursued acting for a little bit. I did 2 plays, this Alice in the Wonderland type play, and then, Little Red Riding Hood court themed play, and then I quit that, and then I went back to, I think, doing karate or something like that, or maybe I just did nothing. I forgot. No, I didn't do nothing. Yeah, I went back to karate. But then I found ASM, which is the place of my for school. Which it's a fantastic program for beginners. I think it's a great place, or at least it was for me until I met my private teacher. But Basically, my mom was walking to, I think, like a Wayne's place or something like that, or she was just walking down the street, and so I think she met this woman, or maybe this woman, no, there's like an advertisement. She was walking where the place was. She w saw it, and I think she there's like an advertisement for it, or she saw the building, and the head of the place, or like the front desk person of the place, saw my mom looking, who's I think was also walking down the street, and so she was like, "Oh, are you interested?" And like, "Are you interested? There's music lessons here." And she was, and my mom was like, "Oh, well, my son is looking for something extracurricular to do, and so he's maybe considering music." And she's like, "Oh, come on in." And so it's all went down from there. And I'm gonna tell you sort of how I left that place. And so for a bit, I actually like live a couple houses down from my teacher, which is awesome because I just walk there, my music stuff, and I'm already there. So basically, she got a we got a like a I guess like a note card from her saying that I guess she's like saw me with like music and so or something like that, and so she was interested about me and she just wanted to I guess do me for an interview or something like that, or like just talk to me about music and stuff like that, and so I was kind of interested, and so I no, actually, for the first, she actually did it twice. The first time, we were like, "No, thank you. We're already kind of taken." But then, the second time she asked, I was getting kind of tired of my teacher, Miss Jeanette. She was getting kind of like bossy with me. She was getting kind of an attitude, and so I'm starting to kind of dislike her, and piano in general. But my teacher, basically, she was I went for an interview and she's like and she told me all about like what her programs and all this stuff, and I was like, "Mom, Dad, this is the perfect woman for me because she gives me way more freedom than that other place, and she actually gives you real music instead of the fake crap that they give you at the other place." And so my parents are like, "You know what, Garrett? We have an idea. We're gonna do both these programs at the same time, until a couple like about a month later or something like that, where then we'll decide what to do." And so I did, and it was really expensive for my parents, and so I really felt bad for them. And so I was like, "Mom and Dad, I want to stay with the lady. I want to stay with the lady." And they're like, "No, we gotta wait," because I felt bad for them because they're paying all this money for no reason. And so, after about a month, I told him, "Listen, I think this lady's right for me. I'm doing way better progress with her, and Miss Jeanette is just slowing me down, and just I'm barely practicing her music anyways, and I'm practicing more music that I'm into." And so, I was like, and she was, my parents were like, "Okay. All right, I think it's time to cut the place off." And so this place had a rule where, the place gave me my keyboard, they gave me a speaker, they gave me all my stuff, like my old keyboard. And so they gave me a head start, which I'm very proud of, and I think that place is great for beginners. But once you get to a certain level, I think then you have to try to find a private teacher that gives you more flexibility. At least that's from my experience. But anyways, I was after yeah, but like I said, after about a month, my parents were like, "All right, so you want to get rid of ASM?" And I said, "Yes." And so they're like, "Okay," and they had this rule where it was like, afterwards, after they give you all the stuff that they was like, "Okay, you gotta promise me," or like, I played for the CEO of the place, and he was like, "Wow, you're such a talent. Like, you might be like a prodigy, which I was really flattered, and which I do not think so now, but I think I was really flattered then. He said, "I had never heard someone play so good in the 50 years I'm working in this business." And so I was like, "Oh my God." And so, or I think now that I think about it, I think he's just saying that to kind of like lure us in, like, "Oh yeah, because you said those nice things, we're going to definitely keep working with you." Because he's like, "But you got to promise me you're going to stay with us." And I was like, yes, yeah. And so, and also he said, "But you also got to promise me another thing. Homework first, then piano." And I was like, yeah. And that I still kind of try to keep doing now. It's always homework first. That's always the rule. If you're a student like me, you always got to do homework first. Because remember, music is not really a reliable job. Being a lawyer and accounting is more of a reliable job. Anyways, I was like, yeah. So they was like, okay, we're good. And so I heard that guy actually died, which I'm very kind of sad. But, afterwards, I was with them for a year. So about about a year later. And so I started with my new teacher, or like my teacher currently, I think a year ago in January. And then January 2018. And so around February 2018, I quit ASM. Parents like, okay, you want to quit ASM? Yes. And so literally, next day, they called him up. They were like, listen, my son doesn't want to work with you guys. We kind of want to quit. We found a new teacher. And they're like, all right, really pleasure having you. And like that, I was done. I was done with ASM. And I was like, and it kind of felt surreal. And it was kind of sad because the teacher at first was really nice and she was still a good human being. And so I was like, whoa, I'm done with ASM? Like, oh my God, that's incredible. So it was really unique and interesting experience. I'm going to have one more story to tell. One more story. And that's when I got my baby grand piano, or at least the journey it took. So I got my baby grand2018. Such a long time ago. It's been over a year. And so, during December and January and October, since around September or October, we were trying to find a baby grand to look for. And so I was like, my parents were like, okay, Garrett, you need a real, real piano. At first, we went to this place in Hollywood, who I thought was really good until I figured out, no, they're not good, they're terrible. But there's this Kawaii piano. I know, it's a funny name, but yeah, it was Kawaii. And it was the most beautiful piano I have ever played. And to this day, or at least the bass, it was like awesome. It was like, whoa, that's a really cool bass. And so to this day, that's one of my favorite pianos I've ever heard for now that I've played. My parents were like, no, we want a baby grand. Look way nicer for the house. But I was like, but mom and dad, this piano was very cheap. It was like, I think it was like $1,500 or maybe $15,000. And $2,500 or $3,500, something like that. Pretty cheap. No, it was $7,500, my bad. But pretty cheap. or at least cheaper in piano standards, because some pianos go off for hundreds of thousands of dollars, like very expensive. Some pianos cost as much as a house. Some pianos cost as much as a car. Very expensive business. But anyways, I really wanted that Kauai super, super bad. And so I told them, my parents, well, think about it this way. Well, sir, sure, it won't look as nice. It'll give you a lot more room to put other things in the house, too. And they're like, oh, no, we want a real baby grand. And so we kept looking. So we went on Craigslist. And there we found this guy around Hollywood who had this baby grand piano in his apartment, who was like, oh, God, we really can't keep this. We're getting noise complaints from our daughter who practices. And so I was like, oh, okay. So at first we searched other pianos, and they're okay. But my parents were like, oh, we should get this. And so I think towards the end of February, they made the purchase. They signed documents and all that stuff. And so I think it was around $1,200 or $2,200. Very, very expensive. No, way less expensive than the upright. And it was actual baby grand. It's a Yuanchang, which was actually one point the number one selling piano in the world. And so I was like, oh my God. And so literally my dad was like, ah, like my parents were ecstatic to have a baby grand piano in their house. And at first I didn't know what was going on. And so my brother was like, good job, Garrett. I'm like, wait, why are you saying good job? Like, what do you mean? And so my parents, when we got in the car, literally all my family, my brother, my mom and dad looked at me. I'm like, what do you guys want? But then I knew, oh, they got it. And I was like, oh, cool. And so we got the baby grand. We got the move in. And while I was waiting for the truck, I literally sat there for like 20 minutes just to get this piano. And when I saw it, I was like, I literally jumped out of the swing. And I was like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. And so I was super happy getting that key, that piano. Really cool. And I got it, and it's my pride and joy. It's my best friend. Sometimes, it's like my number one prized possession, and I would literally give up everything I own. Like, if I just had my piano and my music, of course, I mean, to be honest, my phone, my earbuds, I would be perfectly happy. And a phone charger. I'd be perfectly happy like that. And having nothing else. Because, I mean, those things, they're pretty much necessary to make me happy. I'm pretty much miserable without them. Sorry about that. And it's not like as soon as I leave my house, I'm like, oh, my piano. No, I can live like a couple days without it. But after 2 weeks, I'm like, okay, I need to play piano, need to practice. And yeah, I love my piano very much. And that's the end of my gig stories. I think I'm going to call this episode My Gig Experiences. Although I like the sound of my gig stories better, but we'll see. So thank you guys for listening to me talk for almost an hour. If you're on YouTube, which I mean, preferably I hope you are. Once again, my channel name is Garrett K. If you are, then I appreciate you if you subscribed, especially comment, and like the video. And another thing to comment about is, how do you guys like these podcasts? Like, do you like what I'm doing with it, with the direction. Do you like even the content that I'm doing in general? Like before, I did gaming videos, and that's what made me really, really happy. And then, I mean, like, to be honest with you guys, I would still do gaming videos, but the problem is my computer, it's just so terrible that it's just basically unplayable. I'd love to game more and do more fun things with you guys, but I think that'll maybe change next on Christmas, like 6 more months till Christmas. Around 6 more months till Christmas. So my plan is to get a MacBook, and I don't like, we're all PC. I've grown up with PC, but MacBook has GarageBand and iMovie, and basically has all these things which can basically help me in my career, and so I hope that I'll get it on Christmas, and basically just and make way more content with it, because it'll make my life way easier and a lot faster. So that's really all I have to say. If you guys are listening, thank you for listening. Like, that's insanely difficult to do. Sometimes even I can't listen to an hour-long podcast, let alone a 30-minute one. So just thank you for listening to what I have to say, my experiences. Really means a lot to me. Like, truly means a lot. I hope we'll get some better episodes along the way, and just have a great season, and hopefully I'll be able to make more episodes during school. Obviously, that's probably not gonna happen, or if so, it'll be very maybe once a month, once every 2 months output for episodes, or just let them know videos. It just depends of how stressful school is, because last year during 10th grade, I had terrible luck with my teachers, and so almost all my teachers were terrible or bad, and the ones that weren't, they're okay, they were fine. Hope you guys enjoy the podcast and hopefully this season. I guess as a little reward for listening, I'll give you guys another hint of what composer I'm talking about, which I will talk about next episode if I manage to unpack. Maybe I'll record another episode tomorrow. We'll see. So thank you guys so much for listening, and I'll see you guys next episode. See you guys later. Bye.